There has been some water under the bridge since I last stood here. Jenny was showing someone some photographs recently taken up in the big back garden of the old manse. And my, what changes! Jenny, a mere slip of a lass, a wee young thing. And as for that fella that she was married to, do you know, there wasn't a grey hair on his head and there was no belly to be seen. What changes? Some inevitable as the years tick by. Others you have to hold your hand up and admit that no one's to blame but yourself. Not that every change is a change for the worse and worthy of blame. Some changes are for the better. Some are of the sort that you'd wished you'd made and had the sense to make years earlier. Now, I don't stand here before you and claim that I have made a whole raft of changes for the better since last I stood here. But I do believe that I have made one. And that is a change of mind and heart about a very, very important issue. And that very, very important issue is, how do people out there come to hear the good news? The good news of a God who cares deeply, deeply for them. A God who desires with all his heart that they would come to live forever with him. Now, the way I used to think about that was, The way I used to think about that was, get them in here. By whatever means you can, get them into church. So that here in church they may hear about this God who yearns for them. This God who can make such a difference to them, day by day, and not least on their last day. But now I see that I was wrong. Not wrong in theory, but definitely wrong in practice. Because for the vast majority of folk out there, it doesn't work. It simply doesn't work. Because for the vast majority, there is nothing, there is absolutely nothing that we can do in here that will draw many from out there in among us. We could stand on our heads. We could do cartwheels. We could sing like angels. And for the vast majority out there, it would make zero impact. So what are we to do? Give up? Well, we mustn't. We can't. For God has called us to be his witnesses. His witnesses to the world he longs to draw to himself. So if we can't persuade them in the first instance to come in, well, the solution's obvious, isn't it? We, next slide, we must go out. And see our going out, our mixing and our mingling out there as the most important thing that we will do in kingdom terms all week. Now, do you see the change? You catch the difference. What we do in here, in this hour together, is important. But it is not the be-all and end-all. For the hours that we spend out there, among family, with friends, rubbing shoulders with work colleagues, interacting. All those encounters can be at least as important in the purposes of God as this hour together. Now, I confess it took me years to see that, and I wish I had seen it sooner. And if you haven't seen it already, I would love to take just the next few minutes trying to change your heart and your mind too. Seeing that what you do out there, among the people you meet out there and interact with out there, that is key in the purposes of God in our day. We could come at it like this. Next slide. This wee lady up here is my mother's mother. She was born, bred, and buried in Newton Ards. We knew her as Gran. But to those who lived around her, she was Lizzie. Lizzie Pinnons from Mark Street. And I still remember walking with my Gran from Mark Street to Conway Square in the middle of Newton Ards. And I was just amazed at the number of people she knew and who knew her. Within a street or two of Mark Street, it was all first names. Oh, hello, Lizzie. Hello, Sadie, or whatever. Closer to Conway Square, it became a mix of first names and Mrs. This and Mrs. That. But she literally knew everyone whom we met. And she wasn't unique in that. Everyone was the same. Just as it was in the countryside where I was brought up. My father knew everyone, literally everyone, who lived and who farmed within a 5-mile radius. And you know what? That world isn't just 50 years ago. That world is light years ago. It's over the horizon and it's gone for good. You twig the paradox, don't you? In our world today, people live actually in closer proximity to one another than ever before. Next slide. There are fewer people per hectare in the countryside today than there were 50 years ago. There are far more people per hectare in our towns today than ever before. I'm just amazed at how Rathfrieland has grown, even in these last 27 years. Houses and houses where there used to be fields and gardens. So we're living actually in closer proximity to one another than ever before. But here's the paradox. We who live in closer proximity to one another now live in greater isolation. Next slide. From one another than ever before. We often now today, we don't even know the people 5 doors down from us or round the corner from us. Never mind the people 5 miles away from us. Took Lizzie Pinnons the best part of half an hour to walk the 1/2 mile from Mark Street to the square. So many times did she stop for a quick chat. Today or any day, we could drop into a local shop and we wouldn't meet a single creator we knew. Never mind stop and chat. Society has moved on. Regrettably, yes. I guess it'll never be what it was. But we don't have to accept it entirely as it is. Yeah, we might struggle to get to know the folk 4 or 5 doors down. But we can, if we're minded, we can build a relationship with the folk 1 or 2 doors away. Every one of us could do that with a wee bit of thought, a wee bit of creativity. And that's maybe as far as we can push that one. Because our networks are actually no longer our neighbours, as they were in my old grand's day. Our networks, next slide, are now actually the folk with whom we work, the folk with whom we play, the folk we see again and again serving us at a supermarket checkout, those who share our disappointment at Slimming World or whatever. In other words, when we stop to think about it, our situation today is markedly similar to Matthew's. Matthew, whom we read off. For Matthew, next slide, the tax collector, he had no network either in his neighborhood. He didn't know those who lived around him. Okay, he didn't know them, and they didn't want to know him for a very different reason, because they hated him, which is hopefully not the case with us. But the outcome was the same. He, like us, had no network geographically around him. But he still had a network, just as you and I all do. And what did he do in his network of fellow tax collectors? Well, he first of all, he acted gently. Do you remember what he did? He provided a meal, the non-threatening setting of a meal, a gentle way of interacting. But he also acted intentionally. He brought those folk within his network to meet with Jesus. He had Jesus on the guest list. He acted intentionally. And you know, every one of us has the opportunity and the privilege to act gently but intentionally within our networks. Next slide. Just like Matthew. Because in our networks, we have a choice, you and I. We can either clam up or we can reach out. We can keep ourselves to ourselves, or we can give a little of ourselves. Just a few words, a smile that breaks the ice and that possibly forges the beginning of a easy, casual friendship. Now you say, why in the world would we do that? Well, why not be like just everyone else and stand like stuffed dummies in a supermarket queue? Well, let me offer you a why not by just looking briefly at the insightful work of this man. This is James Angell. Now, James Angell died just 2 years ago, but he began his working life in marketing and in consumer analysis. He spent his working life trying to answer questions like, well, why do people buy one product and not another? And what can be done to make people buy the product that we're trying to sell? In other words, Engel was analyzing and trying to understand the decision-making process, why people decided one thing and not another. And when Engel encountered Jesus Christ, he brought his interest and his expertise in decision-making with him. And he began then the most important study of his life, the study of how people decide to become followers, disciples of Jesus Christ. And after interviewing literally hundreds of people who had found faith, Engel set out what became known then and named after him, the Engel Scale. And this is it. It tells you where most people start their journey towards faith in Jesus. They start right back, right at the bottom, with no awareness of God. And then the Spirit of God begins gently to stir. And they find themselves with some awareness of God. They don't know how that happened, but there it is. They now have some inkling of a bigger power at work in the world. Will you notice now what comes next? Next slide. contact with Christians. Let me make it bigger then so that you can't miss it and don't get distracted with all the rest. Next slide. There it is. Again and again, the next step on their journey is contact with those who know Jesus. Now, do you get the implication of that? Do you get what happens when you and I decide to be like everyone else and just keep ourselves to ourselves? Well, what happens is we fail then to play our part in people's journey to Jesus. We break the link that leads again and again to commitment to Christ. And notice, will you please, it's just contact with Christians. It's about rubbing shoulders with the followers of Jesus. It's not about Christians pushing the gospel at them, preaching at them. It's about Christians living out the gospel before them and alongside them. And we could all do that if only we put ourselves out a little, befriending, building a relationship, gently, but intentionally. And who knows but that God will take our little gestures of friendship, such that because of us, one or two might find their way right into God's kingdom. Wouldn't that be wonderful? May God grant it to be so. A moment or two of prayer together. Lord, we see it and we say it. It is so much easier just to keep ourselves to ourselves, to focus solely on our immediate families, to copy all those around us in social situations who don't look, who don't speak, who won't utter the first words to break the ice. Father, would you give us the courage to do differently and to do better? Would you help us to be outgoing and conversational? And would you bless us with the sensitivity of knowing what to say and how to say it? So that through our day-to-day living, our day-to-day interactions and rubbing shoulders, we may be links in the chain that lead some whom we know to a saving faith in Jesus. For his sake and for theirs. Amen.